There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Another live, local couple hours here. You and I, the phone and text hotline, 343-0106. Also, of course, eyes on that disturbance in the southwest Gulf of Mexico. More from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams coming up about 12:35, right in there. And we'll keep our eyes on this. Possibly looks like a timeline of Friday, Saturday, Sunday for us around here. A rainmaker for sure. What else? Well, that's why we got Dr. Bill. So we'll keep our eyes on that. And also, just a quick reminder. I'll do a at-length reminder like I have been doing, but just a quick reminder right now. If you got a second, stopping for lunch or whatever, checking us out, you got the smartphone there in your hand. If you have an Apple product, go to iTunes. If you got an Android product, go to Google Play and look for our brand spanking new FM Talk 106.5 app. Actually, the first one for us. If you'll search FM Talk 106.5 in iTunes or Google Play, just the letter F, the letter M, then T-A-L-K, number one, number zero, number six, number five. That's our app. You'll see our logo pop up. Download it, free download, and check out all the features, and we'll talk more about those in a little bit. But don't put a point between the six and five. It messes it up. I don't know. Don't put the point between 6 and 5. So just look for FM Talk 106.5 in your iTunes or your Google Play Store and get the app downloaded today. All right, y'all want to get ready because a lot to talk about with my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and leadoff batter today. Appreciate your time. Todd, what's happening?
Oh, plenty. Plenty, Sean. Plenty's happening all around the world politically right now, but just glad to have an inside job today.
That is true. I don't know what the heat indices look like up there in Montgomery, but if it's as hot as it is here, Montgomery's probably 10 degrees hotter. So yeah, God bless you.
It's pretty muggy, but that's just summer in Alabama. You gotta love it.
Yeah, I was just finishing up with Jeff, and I told him one of the stories I can't wait to talk to Todd about and figure this out is a story about military guns lost, stolen from bases here in Alabama. You know, we have this discussion a lot. I have law enforcement folks on. They talk about the guns that they collect from crimes out there and how many of these guns are stolen guns and, you know, whether they came out of a car or they've been trafficked from one place to another. I was surprised to see a headline that says that these guns, some of them, were coming out of military installations.
Yeah, and this all came from an investigation that really kind of, they've been asking for government records from U.S. Army bases, or really all across the military, because they do have to keep track of this stuff. And so the Associated Press got all these records from all these military bases, and, I mean, it's pretty disturbing stuff about how many thousands of, you know, guns were either lost, stolen, but the real troubling fact is how many are being used for crimes. You know, murders, holdups, things like that. You just wouldn't think. You think of all places where a gun would be safe, it'd be on a military installation, but apparently they've had trouble over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about, you know, they'll have the PSAs here to lock up your car, make sure your gun is not stolen out of the car. But this is, I mean, specifically here, Anniston Army Depot. I got to think there's some security there. There's some checks and balances there to make sure, like, because you're talking about 7 MP5s, which is a fantastic weapon, MP5 submachine gun, just walked out of there.
Yeah, 34 or I guess, you know, 39 weapons disappeared in Alabama. 34 of those were at Anniston Army Depot, and that's kind of their mission, is to have a you know, have an arsenal up there and mm-hmm. have things secure. I mean, all military bases are secure, but up there where they are literally renovating tanks and building tanks, I mean, you really have to have a secure environment. So the fact that guns are going missing or going stolen is pretty concerning. So I'm glad they put this report out. I know it's embarrassing for the military, but this is the kind of thing that the press needs to do, because you know, we have to hold everybody accountable and be transparent about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just would worry about information. I don't know everything that goes on at Anniston. You know, it's a depot, but if you can get a 7 MP5s, let alone other weapons, out of there, couldn't you get pictures of new technology? You know, we worry about the espionage going on. If it was something that was a lot easier to conceal, if they can get that gun out there, I'm more worried about, you know, what else are they pulling out of these military installations?
Yeah, no kidding. It's really concerning, and to say nothing of the Russians and mm-hmm. the Chinese and all this. But it just goes to show how valuable guns are, how criminals will do just about anything to get their hands on them. But, you know, what concerns me about Alabama in particular is, for a while, we've had a gun trafficking problem, right? We've got a lot of the gun crime that goes on, especially here in Montgomery, in our cities, Montgomery, Mobile, Birmingham. It happens from stolen weapons that are either, you know, stolen from here in Alabama or trafficked into the state. And I've always argued that the federal government has done a pretty bad job of actually cracking down on that gun trafficking. You know, so many people want to talk about gun control. We have some pretty useful gun laws, especially gun trafficking laws. And I think the federal government has done a bad job at actually using those to crack mm-hmm. down on criminals. And here we, and now we understand that now they're getting them from the military. That's just kind of, really makes you want to bang your head against the wall.
No, very much so. And we remind folks, too, of course, you can check out these stories at aldailynews.com. We'll talk about getting Todd's email into your inbox here soon. I want to get your reaction here. So right here in Mobile today, we have this discussion of a $5,000 bonus, right? The $5,000 bonus for full-time City of Mobile employees. This was presented today, it says in the press release, as part of his, Mayor Sandy Simpson's, People First plan to spend $58.2 million in federal funds allocated through the American Rescue Plan. Now, what they're doing is they're giving $5,000 bonuses to all full-time City of Mobile employees, $2,500 for all part-time City employees. This goes back to that bigger discussion that we've talked about it. This radio station talks about it. You've talked about it. But it doesn't seem to get the attention I thought $4 billion would. $4 billion coming to the state of Alabama.
Yeah, and that's part of it, right? Yep. I mean, it's going to cities. Unlike the original CARES Act, which was last year, that had really specific rules about, you know, it can't go to salaries. It can't go toward replacing revenue and all that. And the reason they put those restrictions on there is, they wanted to be more frugal about it, even though it was $1 trillion. Well, now there's almost no restrictions on this money. I mean, they have rules and everything, but the government, the rules have been flipped. Instead of being restrictive on what you can't spend it on, now the government wants you to spend it. The whole point is to get this money out the door. And I understand the mindset. I would have understood a lot more if we were actually still in the midst of this pandemic. But here we are climbing out, and this money is starting to be spent. And, you know, we are seeing real-world effects of that in terms of inflation. I love how people just want to wish inflation away, like it's not going to actually happen, or it's not actually happening right now. When you flood the economy with tons of new cash that we borrow from China, by the way, it can have a negative effect. I'm very happy for the city employees, mm-hmm. right? And they're doing the same thing here in Montgomery. They're probably doing it all around the state. I'm happy for everybody that gets a bonus. Great, but that's not necessarily the job of the federal government.
And, right.
I think we need to have a come to Jesus meeting about what's appropriate and what's not in terms of taxpayer money.
Okay, so as part of that, you've got municipalities, you got this $4 billion split up. There is about $2 billion of it that's specifically going through the state. Am I right?
$2.3 is going to be allocated by the state. The rest went either directly to cities and counties or directly to schools.
Okay. I want to get into your story about broadband partnership too. That's up because I'm really interested in that. But would the state? Is there a chance that the state of Alabama does that and just bonuses money to state employees and that's where could they do the same thing?
From what I understand, yeah, they could, and that's been done before. State employee bonuses. They actually did a bonus this last legislative session for state employees, not teachers, but state employees. And so, that could be a part of it, and probably will. I mean, they've got a lot of money to spend. What I'm really interested in is this capital project. The part of the plan. I think $196 million is dedicated specifically toward building things. The feds say, go build something. All right, is that going to be a prison? Yeah, is it going to be a new state house? I don't know. Spread it around for the roads and bridges, maybe some of that. I don't know. I'm eager to see what the state legislature and the governor come up with in terms of a plan. I think we'll probably start seeing at least some details on that within the next month.
Yeah, I would wonder, because you bring up so many good subjects. Let's break these out. First of all, roads and bridges. So we talk about the money spent, and you've got the gas tax increase, and that money being allocated around the state for different projects. Do you put that money into that where you already have a conduit? And of course, I'm sure before I even look at the text line, people are going to ask down here, could that be part of the a project down here for a Mobile River Bridge?
Yeah.
But does that go there where you already have, there is a way to spend versus something that is that's new or novel in this spending, something that's not already on the list of items, the metropolitan organizations, the MPO plans?
Right. That's such a good question, and I just can't answer it because I don't know what the lawmakers and the governor are thinking. I know they're beginning their conversations, so it's people like Greg Allbritton and Arthur Orr and Steve Klaus, and they're going to be the ones saying, all right, here's a good idea for spending this money. The interesting thing is, in Alabama, for years and years, there's sort of been this idea that we don't have the money to pay for things, right? We're short on cash. And that may be true just in a general sense. We don't have we're not flushed with cash like Florida. But we can pay for things. Our budgets are just fine. They're the most they've ever been. There's not any agency that's crying out for more funding. Schools are the highest funding they've ever been. Could it be higher? Yeah. Could we pay teachers more? Yeah. But we have met our obligations as a state as far as revenue goes. So it's kind of interesting now to see budget writers say, okay, what are we going to do with $2.3 billion?
Mm-hmm.
One interesting point is also, comparing it to the CARES Act. The CARES Act was passed in March, and you had to spend the money by December. This thing was passed, I guess, this past
January,
March.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, maybe February or March. But people have until 2024 to spend it. So the deadline isn't there, the crazy deadline to get it out the door. So you could have some longer-term projects.
Okay. Let's do this. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about some of those projects, because we talked about roads there, but you mentioned prisons. You even mentioned the State House, which is like maybe a third rail of discussion, but we'll continue that conversation when we come back. Our guest, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. 12:24, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and our guest, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Todd, tell them how to get signed up for your email.
It's really easy. You said it. Just go to aldailynews.com. www.fmtalk1065.com. That's the homepage. You're going to want to sign up. Click sign up at the very top. Enter your name and your email, and you will be on the list.
All right. So the executive branch and its deal with prison builders out there fell through. The legislature has talked about doing bonding here, but would there be any of this how many billion dollars available to the state that may go into building a prison?
There's $2.3 billion that the state legislature and the governor are going to have to allocate, but specifically $196 million is supposed to go toward this capital projects fund. So that, just think about that as bricks, mortar, roads, bridges, whatever. And so I'm curious if they want to spend any of that money, you know, toward this whole prison project. It would seem to, you know, make sense if we really are under the gun in terms of, man, we got to get a prison built right away. If that's the case, then yeah, it would make sense.
You keep saying otherwise, if that's the case. If I've been a fool all these years to hear, you know, and recently with Judge Thompson's ruling, isn't that the case?
Well, see, when Judge Thompson, when he gives orders and through the Department of Justice, when they have made their statements, every time they say that new facilities is not going to fix it, right? They are, and part of that is just sort of the legalese. They don't care. They technically don't care whether or not we build new prisons. They're focused on making sure we're not, you know, don't have these torture chambers. You know, I mean, I hate to make light of it, but you know what I mean.
But that's part of it, right? Spacing people out.
The hellish conditions, yeah. Right? The horrible conditions. They're trying to fix that. Now, it makes common sense that if you have a new modern facility, that you don't have the same staffing problems. You can dedicate more time and energy toward mental health and other kind of things. So, of course, it's part of it. But they never say it that way. And so, the reason I say if is that's the conversation they're having right now. If they can wait and build prisons over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, then yeah, they'll take their time. But if that means that they're going to be under a federal order, right, or a takeover, receivership, basically the question is, do we need to rush this job to build new prisons in order to avoid a receivership? And if so, then they need to, you know, use whatever resources are available and do it quick.
Okay. Before we run out of time, you also mentioned, and I will say this, I actually agree that I'd love to see something done. I don't know about the allocation of money for it, but the State House, you know, that was mentioned last time and that blew up. Could we use this money to build a new State House up on Goat Hill?
We could. They could. And look, I think they should. I don't know if it's this pot of money. I don't know if it's a bond issue. I don't know if it's going through the retirement systems to do that. But anybody that's been to the State House anytime soon knows that it's falling apart. Mm-hmm. And that's not just for the legislature. It's for the people. I mean, the fact that we have this old, nasty building where, you know, it's falling apart and people can't even meet with their legislators, it's embarrassing. Go to other states and look at where, you know, their state houses, their palaces, their temples, and that's great. It should be that way. It's the people's house. And so we've got to do something, but of course it's a political hot potato. Nobody really wants to be the guy who voted for a new state house.
But, okay, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what's sad is politically it's not expedient, but it may be one of the uses here. Because, I mean, where are we going to come up with the money again? You know, when is it going to be okay in the future? It's never going to be okay.
Right. And look, I had problems with them trying to use CARES Act money for it because we literally were in the middle of a pandemic and this money was supposed to be spent for emergencies. That wasn't an emergency. This is totally different. Like we said, the government wants us to spend this money on construction and whatever else. So the scope is different. So I'll be interested to see, you know, what they might do with it.
All right. There he is, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and keeping things in line in Montgomery. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, man. Y'all be good.
Will do. There he is. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Get to your text and your phone calls and even... Now with the TalkBack feature in the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, we can get your voicemails you're leaving us through the app. Remember, you're on that front page of the app, and you see the microphone down there at the bottom. You press the microphone, you record your message, and it sends it to us. Check it out, and we'll get some of those played as well. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you here. Good to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Well, I will say this is not the Super Bowl event of all holidays. It's kind of one that's near and dear to my heart. It's Father's Day coming up soon, and pretty darn good place to get a Father's Day gift as well, going to see Angelo, Ron, Nancy, the whole crew. So, Angelo, let's talk about Father's Day coming up. Got some ideas, some thought starters?
Yeah, lots of different stuff. You know, if Mama has to bring the kids out to get something for Dad, I mean, anything from those number 8 Opinel pocket knives, I mean, those start off at around $12-15 a piece. Very reasonable, very cool gift. Knife company that's been around for 130-plus years. Obviously doing something right there, so great gift ideas there. If Dad likes to cook and do some of the outdoorsy barbecue stuff, there's some prep knives and things like that that are very reasonably priced. If Dad's into gold and silver and some of the cool coins, we've got silver dollars, silver rounds, 1 ounce silver pieces, 10 ounce silver bars, of course 1 ounce gold bars if you're really getting excited there. And we've even got some gold and silver jewelry that's Dad or father related.
So, I mean, it sounds like you're looking on all fronts. You got tons of inventory.
We do. Inventory has been doing really well here. Probably have the best selection of gold and silver bullion and rare and collectible coins that we've had probably ever right now, Sean.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's saying something, because I've seen y'all stacked before. So this is the time to check it out. And also, people are looking at kind of getting into precious metals, looking at everything going on around them, not only y'all have selection of precious metals, but you got great advice, man. You really do.
Yeah, we've got a great selection of knowledge out there. Go to the website, mobilebaycoins.com. Click on that podcast button, and you can scroll through some of the old podcasts over the last year and a half or so. If you don't have time for that, but you just want to go ahead and listen to it in the real world, check it out Tuesday night, 6 to 7, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, tell them how to find you in the real world. If they're driving that car, how do they get you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. We're in between Whataburger and Little Flower Catholic School. Love to see you come by.
All right, we'll see you soon. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, this, did you, just an aside, got a lot to talk about here, but this one was, stood out to me. AL.com posted it. It is from Tampa Bay Times. A city that sold its water tower. Sounds like the making of some kind of, it's like a Hallmark movie or something, right? The fight to get back the water tower. Stories of the scenic city of Brooksville, Florida may not have a Brooklyn Bridge to sell, but recently and accidentally, the city sold its water tower. Said, lucky for city fathers, the accidental buyer. Can you say city fathers anymore? Can you say that? City parents. Lucky for city parents, the accidental buyer, Bobby Reed, agreed to deed the tower back to Brooksville after the mistake was made, but the error has caused a flurry of social media attention and a rift between residents and political figures. The issue began last year when Reed approached the city. He asked about the small building with a garage at the water tower's base. It had been used as storage for various city departments, but Reed was hoping to use it as a gym. That began with discussions with city leaders who had a specific task to complete, including declaring the building surplus and subdividing the land. And here we go. Pandemic delayed city action in 2020, but on April 19th of this year, city council members sitting as the Brooksville Community Redevelopment Agency heard the formal request by the community community redevelopment director Chris Anderson, and Brooksville was ready to sell the building to this guy, Reed. They said, we see no reason not to sell it as commercial. Sales price was $55,000. City Council unanimously approved the sale. Approved. All right. And then, several days later, when this guy that bought that, he thought he was just buying the building, right, for his gym there, went to the Hernando County Property Appraiser's Office to get an address for his new business location. He was told that the parcel he bought included the entire water tower site. County officials' records show that the warranty deed recorded May 14th, then transferred the city's water tower at that point back to the city only because this guy said it was okay. So the guy acknowledged the city's mistake and said it was okay for the city. But yes, he, for some period of time, actually owned the city's water tower, not just the building underneath. So there you go. Just be careful. When we hear that, you watch Mobile City Council and they, all right, everybody, okay, we all agree, unanimous. Be careful. Of what you're selling out there. All right, from the text line, let's get some of these texts we missed. Let's see. People were talking about the $5,000 bonus. I will point this out. This is happening, like Todd did, in cities around the state. So the cities receive money, right? The cities are receiving. You have $4 billion coming to the state of Alabama, and $2.6 goes to the state directly. The rest go to counties and municipalities. So not just here in Mobile, but this bonus structure for employees, city employees in Montgomery, and I imagine Huntsville and Birmingham and around, and maybe smaller towns. I don't know where they have the breakpoint on who gets the money. But they're doing these bonuses out there, $5,000 each in the city of Mobile for full-time employees, $2,500 for part-time employees. So that's one of the ways they're spending this money. So that's, but on the text line, people are saying, yeah, it's re-election time. I think Sandy's trying to make himself look good, and he's throwing the city council under the bus. Typical politics. Matt says, real easy, y'all. It's called election year. Try to keep the employees happy. Well, there you go. It's, how about this? I think it could be true, Matt, Tim, and others at the level here, but it's also true everywhere. Whoever's like the in office right now in city governments around the state is probably going, sweet. Oh my gosh, this. So a friend of mine just texted me. She said, ever heard of anyone getting it? Why are you doing, you're doing this just to incense me and get me riled up. I don't appreciate that. Said, anybody ever heard of getting into big trouble because they forgot it was Father's Day? No, they haven't. And it's not even Father's Day. It's Father's afternoon or morning to my friend here on the text line. It's, it's a Father's Minute kind of thing happens here. So, no, nobody ever gets it. Like, there's nobody sweat. You're right. But you should get dad and all. I sweat it with my dad. I sweat it absolutely. But in general, people are not sweating the Father's Day gift at the level they sweat the Mother's Day gift. That's why I pointed out to our conversation with Angelo. It's not the Super Bowl of gift giving during the year, but it's, a qualifier game or maybe just a regular in-conference game, really. But get dad something cool. Being a dad, I'm going to advocate for dads here. Get dad something cool. All right. I'm talking about the Mo Brooks thing. Okay, let me go through this. And this discussion came up on Jeff's show. We've talked about it some. The headline here, Mo Brooks rolls out Club for Growth endorsement, hits professional lobbyist opponent. Katie Britt responds, as you saw on Twitter probably. Well, bless his heart. So here it goes. Now with Katie Boyd Britt in the race officially, here comes the sparring back and forth. Of course, you had Linda Blanchard doing it for a while. Now it's the turn of Katie Boyd Britt. And to be honest with you, this is only brought it. You could say that the reaction that gives Katie Boyd Britt attention is brought on by the Mo Brooks campaign. So on Monday, Mo Brooks campaign unveiled one of the more significant endorsements, and Jeff writes this in Yellowhammer, to date in the race's early stages for the GOP nomination for Alabama's 2022 U.S. Senate contest. The endorsement, while not totally unexpected, came from the Club for Growth, which, remember, we've had our own times with the Club for Growth down here in elections right here in AL1 and others. Says the Club for Growth, an entity that has been very active in Alabama elections in recent years. However, in announcing the endorsement, Brooks also took a shot at his opponent, former Business Council of Alabama President Katie Britt, sparking another early skirmish in this election cycle. Brooks referred to Britt as a professional lobbyist in touting the Club for Growth endorsement. So he did two things. He's like, hey, I got the Club for Growth endorsement. And then went on to say this. In Alabama's U.S. Senate race, the establishment, never Trump, cheap foreign labor, debt junkie, tax and spend wings of the Republican Party are all coalescing their big-time money on professional lobbyist Katie Britt. Club for Growth's endorsement and help is much-needed counterweight to the special interests who see the federal government as nothing more than a trough to feed at, end quote. So you go on here and it says, But Brooks says, I'm honored and thankful for the Club for Growth's endorsement. Their endorsement is yet another third-party confirmation that Bo Brooks is the fearless fighting conservative America needs in the U.S. Senate, end quote. All right, so you go through this. So he's got the endorsement, but he then turns it around and says the Club for Growth is backing him because of the things he listed about Brit. So the response here, so that sets it up, right? In the news world, if you're going to say something like that, right, you're going to, then the journalist is going to go to the person you said it about to get their response. It's just how it works. So-and-so is a such-and-such, and then they'll go talk to so-and-so so they can respond to being called a such-and-such. So the response from the Brit campaign, I guess from the campaign and Katie Britt herself, it says, bless his heart, there he goes again with Mo lies. As a first-time candidate, I'm not surprised that the Washington, D.C. super PACs have decided to back my opponent, who's been in office since 1982. I've made it clear that I'm going to put Alabama first, and out-of-state special interests have obviously gotten the message. We're working relentlessly every day to speak directly to our people of the great state and about how I will be the senator for Alabama, not just a senator from Alabama. We're excited about the momentum that is building less than a week in, and we look forward to this grassroots movement taking us to victory in 2022. Now that's I can say that's some pretty strong jujitsu to turn around and politically and take that and kind of work it back the other way. To say, well, Mo Brooks has been there since 82. It's interesting how this is going to play out as you have Mo Brooks with the decided advantage in this, and you have the endorsement of President Trump. You've got Katie Britt who's saying that Mo's been there, which is true, since 82, Katie Britt's first time in the mix, is going to be a fight to define who is the insider, who's not the insider, right? You can argue and say, well, yeah, I don't know that it would be a winning argument, but one could argue, well, he's been there since 82, speaking of Congressman Brooks, so he must be the insider. And Katie Britt could say, I'm brand new in this. I'm not. But there's an interesting thing there, too, and I talk about this. The words used. So let's go back to the statement coming out from the Mo Brooks campaign. And it says that Mo Brooks is the fearless fighting conservative America needs in the U.S. Senate. The way they're using that from the Brit campaign, I think is telling. It says, tell the people of the great state about how I'll be the senator for Alabama, not just a senator from Alabama. So there's the discussion. It almost goes back to a discussion of Richard Shelby, right, of Senator Shelby. Are you for Alabama? Which you should be, actually, the definition. You know, our senators early on were basically our diplomats to the federal government. They were our ambassadors from the state to the federal government. Obviously, it's been redefined over the decades how that plays out. But that was your job as a senator, to be the Alabama ambassadors to the federal government. So play this back and forth. We can talk, and it's a fair discussion that we've brought up here, and we bounced it back and forth. Should the job be of the senator from the state to carry, be a national firebrand, or should it be one that does the best job for Alabama specifically? Even if that may, at some point, I don't know that it would, but what if it went away from the orthodoxy of the Republican Party, but the thing was better for Alabama? Who do you support in that? It's a fair question here. And listen, we'll have a lot of time to talk about this going forward. I'll talk about it with you right now at 343-0106. Let's grab a call before we go to the news. And Dave is in Foley. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Sean. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm just great. You were talking about Father's Day.
Yes, Father's afternoon.
More like the quarterfinals of gift giving.
So it's not so you think it's outside of division. It is. It's not just a regular game.
Just a regular game.
Okay.
But it's certainly not the finals, and it's certainly not the championship.
No, I would say that between Mother's Day and Father's Day, there's several other gift-giving holidays that would rank before Father's Day.
Squeeze in the middle there. Easily.
Dave, thank you, man. Appreciate your call. All right, we'll grab your phone call when we return at 343-0106, 343-0106. It's a Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Looks like I've stirred something up here, which is good, which is good. Which, by the way, too, speaking of stirring things up, I appreciate the multi-platform response to my WASP discussion from this morning. Getting reactions from folks on email, the text line, and through the new app, the FM Talk 106.5 app, which I hope you get a chance to download today. Free app on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play Store. But this one about the Father, this is something I've said for years about Father's Day. Just a thing. I'm not even like ranting or upset. It's just a thing. Of course, Matt said Dave from Foley has the best comment of the day. I think you may be right that it's the quarterfinals of gift giving. So it moves it up the line a little more there. So Meg says, let's be honest about Father's Day. It's normally, quote, thanks for the gift and the meal. See y'all later. I'm going fishing or off to play golf. Well, maybe. I mean, but if the gifts were better, maybe we'd stick around. Stick around for a little bit longer. My buddy Jay says, I'll get some boxer briefs and maybe a new grill spatula on Sunday. So not a grill, just a grill spatula. The rest of the family then gets to spend the following week in Manhattan. Seems unbalanced, but I'm just a dad, so I'm not real sure. That's right, because you watch enough television, right? Yeah, we're simple creatures, the dads out there. And this way, this from Ashley is more of a picture here. In a comment, but it says so much. It's a picture of some old boy in a pair of BVDs that looks like it had a grizzly take out the back of the BVDs. And it says, hold on a little longer. Father's Day is Sunday. Well, we have to have a way to get underwear. That's right. That's a good thing, giving it to us that way for Father's Day. All right. Can you imagine giving mom underwear? Well, maybe not for Mother's Day, but I mean, it's like, here's underwear, Mom, for Mother's Day. All right. I want to hit that, too. I don't know if that has changed. Somebody's asking about the power outage. I don't know any new details on this. At one point today, it was 4,300 people in the Mobile area were without power. I guess it was this morning. 3,200 or so were in Midtown and Maysville area. So we don't know yet if that has changed. I'm sure somebody can report to us if it is. Why? I don't know. Doesn't say why. Just says we're without power. And I'm not saying that this weekend's going to be anything like that. But heads up, if you haven't been listening, something's coming our way. At least according to staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, looks like it's heading to a right now. Right now, a landfall, Louisiana landfall, but that would put us in the northeast side of whatever this is. It's going to be a rainmaker for sure, so plan accordingly. You know, if you've been holding on for this weekend to do something outside, have big plans, well, it's going to be wet doing that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll get more of an in-depth discussion with Dr. Bill Williams coming up tomorrow. All right. We can get into this more next hour, but popped up on NBC 15 News on their website. Said Mobile annexation growth hinted at in the Finance Committee meeting. So they'll have a Finance Committee meeting before the normal council meeting. And they're reporting this, a comment made by outgoing City Councilman John Williams during this morning's City Finance Committee meeting alluded to the failed annexation plans for Mobile in late 2019 and how much Mobile could have been eligible for in the American Rescue Plan Act. Now, we talked about this yesterday with City Councilman Joel Daves, you know, about federal grant money. But listen to this. We just discussed how much money is coming to cities, counties, and the state of Alabama through the American Rescue Plan Act. A quote here from City Councilman John Williams, if we could be so bold to increase the population of our city or to allow the population to be increased, this could very well have been double. I guess so, double the money. Mobile received $29 million in the program. So $29 million came to the city and is set to receive another $29 million in the summer, next summer. The ARPA funds were distributed to cities based on community development block grant criteria, which include the population data from the U.S. Census Bureau. In late 2019, of course, Mayor Stimson began a push to, it says a push to annex two areas into the city. The push was to allow the folks to be able to vote. One area was in West Mobile in the Airport Boulevard and Snow Road area. The second was to the north in the area around Sims. Had the annexation plan passed, Mobile would have possibly moved up to the second largest city in the state and put Mobile over the $200,000 population threshold for increased funding. So there's that. All right, be right back. More Midday Mobile.